All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning on this Sunday morning. You know, I was talking about all these things with anti-Semitism, everything that's on the scene right now. You know, to God be the glory. We're this much closer to the one that we love, our Jesus. Remember, 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 we are only here temporary. This is not our home. And Pastor's going to talk to you about this morning, about your mind. And I'm going to start us out with a scripture in Isaiah 44. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Do you know that you're chosen of the Lord, of the living God? Thus says the Lord that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jezreel, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Are you thirsty this morning, bride? Are you thirsty? And floods upon the dry ground. I got chill bumps right now. Ooh. And I will pour out my spirit upon your seed. Everybody lift your hands. Say, in the name of Jesus, we claim this over our children, that you will pour out your spirit, Lord, in these last days on our children. We are decreeing and declaring that our children are coming home to Jesus. Yes, they are. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We are ambassadors of the Most High God, decreeing and declaring in the atmosphere that our family is saved. Come on now. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our family is called out. Our family is chosen. Our family is anointed for such a time as this. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved just like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. And my blessing upon your offspring. This is a promise that we are reaching up into heaven and grabbing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we're not going out of here alone. We're taking our families with us, our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We are partnering with heaven today in Isaiah chapter 44. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who, as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me? Who, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. That's you, bride. That is you. God needs us in this hour. He needs us. Why? To partner with him. You know, we're going to see, like I said on the news last night, this is, if you didn't have Jesus, or even if you had Jesus and you don't understand who you are in Christ, this is a very scary moment. This is a very tumultuous time that we're in right now. But we have hope in Jesus, because we know that we are stepping into literally our finest hour. Amen. So we're going to sing a couple of songs before Pastor comes on, because God has been dealing with him all week, and it is going to be an awesome sermon. All right, so I want us to sing this one called Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Isn't that beautiful? Because I can tell you, all those years living single, I always leaned on Jesus' arms. And now that I'm married and have a physical husband, kind of like Jesus was. I mean, Jesus is still my husband, but he's like the physical representation. It is so weird having natural arms to lean in. It's just, I mean, it gives you another revelation of how much love Jesus really has for us. You know, with the arms, you feel the protection, you feel the love, you feel the provision, you feel the security. Isn't that something? There's a lot when it comes to arms, what you feel. So when we say we are leaning on the everlasting arms, a lot of people that lived in abuse, like what I did, arms can be dangerous as well. Think about it. They can hurt you, be mean to you, work against you. But these Jesus's arms, God's arms, these are everlasting arms. No end to the love that he has, security, protection, love, you know. Okay, last song I want to sing before Pastor comes on here is Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know that we have the most awesome, awesome God there ever was and ever will be. I think about that word great. You know, it's kind of been hijacked in this hour. But great is really God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will sing, how great is our God. Isn't that beautiful? Let's sing that again. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And our heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Isn't he great? Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing how great is our God. See, this morning we are lifting him up high. Okay, now let's sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And before I do that, though, I forgot to give you one awesome announcement. And then we will open the floor for Pastor after this song. Starting next Sunday for Easter, we will do a very special broadcast next Sunday for Easter. And we are going to go back on YouTube to do church services. Now that I have good internet, we're going back to YouTube. But what I would like to do is for the church members like you guys, well, you can let me know how you want to do this. We can either just go to YouTube and y'all all chat in there, or we can do it through Zoom and cast it out to YouTube. Does that make sense? Y'all let me know what you would like. The thing about being on Zoom is, you know, maybe you guys are a little bit more intimate. They can't see your chat. It's a very private chat. You know, the church members. And then YouTube could be for the world at large, you know, because we do have people that follow us and listen to our morning prayer calls Monday through Thursday. They listen every week from all over the world. So we're going to open church back up for the entire world. So let me know whether you would like to do it on Zoom and make it private, except for the YouTube, or would you just like to all just start meeting on YouTube from now on? We're going to keep it the same time at 7:30 to give people time to go to a local church if they would like to. So let me know, Zoom or no Zoom? That is the question. Okay, great is thy faithfulness. God, you're so awesome this morning. We praise your holy name, for you are worthy to be praised, Lord. Okay. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. I'm off tune. There's no shadow of turning with thee. Here we go. Thou changest not thy compassions. They fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need in thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature, and I'm lost in my keys. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Yeah, got off tune there for a minute, but it's all right. It's all right. All right. So as I was saying, starting next Sunday, we're going global again. Now that we have the good internet, praise God. And we got our taxes done this weekend, praise God. So we are ready to go to the next level. Thank you, Carla. Thank you, sister. So anyways, I'm going to go ahead and open it up to Pastor because he has a really awesome sermon for you guys today. Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, sir. Sorry.
All righty. All right. Well, today's another beautiful day here in West Tennessee. Looks like outside, looking out the window here. And I guess I want to express, yes, the Lord's faithfulness. We just got to definitely trust in His faithfulness for bringing us out of these turbulent times and keeping us strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And that's where, you know, this leaning on His everlasting arms of the Lord, you know, we really got to do that because of the things we see out there, you know, and it's just like the song before June come on, you know, come Jesus, come. You know, and I sent out a couple messages to my brother and, you know, some different things about what's going on. And he don't reply to me like he used to, you know, and it's like, that's what he always just replies back, come Jesus, come, you know, and he's kind of being willingly ignorant of the times, you know, but he knows we're in these strange, turbulent times. So great and awesome is our God. Amen. Anyway, I want to try and paint a big picture. And I've had a little bit of problems with this. And I was sharing some things with June this morning. So she may chime in on me this morning if I can't quite paint a big picture for you what I want to do this morning. So let's turn to actually Mark 14 and then also turn to John 18. Put your finger between them two because this is where Jesus is betrayed. This is the night Judas betrayed him. And I was reading this devotion from my devotion book about this, and it's actually three different devotions, and I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to read this one, but I'm trying to paint a picture of all three of them together somewhat. And there's a word that when I was reading this that stuck out at me. And he doesn't really, in these 3 days of devotion, point out that word and bring that word out like what I want to today. So kind of bear with me at the start of this to try and paint a big picture of this. But what I'm seeing is this is kind of the ultimate story of this word. Actually, there's two words that I'm going to share with you. But this is the what I call the kiss of betrayal. You know, when Judas kisses Jesus, when he hands him over to the, you know, these religious people and the soldiers, you know, and everything. But in Mark 14, this is the end part of it. Let's go to verse, let's see here. Let's go to verse 43. And immediately while he yet spoke, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. So this is when Judas went up to Jesus and laid hands, you know, and give him this kiss of betrayal is what I call it. And in John 18, verses 1 through 8, is this same story of the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. Okay? To where this verse 2, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew this place. So he's talking, you know, about this place where Jesus, you know, they always went into the garden. And this is where he took his disciples. And Jesus and Judas knew this place. And Judas, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, come hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. So he's telling, you know, you got me, let my disciples go. But the reason why I'm reading this also in John 18, I thought this is so awesome, that he said, verse 6, as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, what happened? They went backward and fell to the ground. Woo! That's our awesome Jesus. That's our great and mighty Jesus. Just by him speaking, these people fell backwards. Hallelujah. So we need to, when we speak God's word, and when we stand on his word, you know, the devil and his adversaries that are coming against us, they fall backwards. We just got to claim that. Amen. The power of Jesus' word. So I just thought that was so cool. But what I want to do here is I'm going to read this devotion, and then when I read it, I'm going to come into those two words which I want to expound on. Okay? And this is April 6th, and it's called the Judas Kiss. And when I'm reading this and really pondering over it this whole week and studying it, it's like the kiss of betrayal, because when you read it, that's what it says. So this word betrayal, it means to give into the hands of another. And see, and that's what Judas did. What did he do? He gave Jesus over to the hands of these soldiers and people that were coming after him. And so let's read that. And this is Mark 1, 44 and 45. And he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And this token is a signal. It's a sign. That was the sign that, hey, this is the guy. Okay? So I just want to read this now. Have you ever been stabbed in the back by someone you thought was a true friend? Have you ever walked with him and spent much time with him? You had shared your thoughts and even your secrets with him, thinking that everything you said would be held in confidence between you two. Then you discovered that the commitment you felt for that person was not what you felt for you, what he felt for you. Can you recall any hurtful moments in your life like this? I can. Anyway, this is what happened to Jesus on the night of Judas betrayed him. It was no accidental betrayal, but one that was premeditated and meticulously implemented. Before Judas led the soldiers and temple police to the Garden of Gethsemane, he met with the religious leaders and negotiated a deal for Jesus' capture. During these meetings, he disclosed information about where Jesus prayed and where he met with his disciples. Judas must have also told him about Jesus' phenomenal power, which explains why so many troops came with weapons to arrest Jesus that night. I want to read that again, which explains why so many troops came with weapons to arrest Jesus that night. Remember that. It was in those meetings with the religious leaders that Judas agreed to receive a payment of 30 pieces of silver for the delivering Jesus into their hands. Because many of the soldiers of the temple police had never seen Jesus before, Judas devised a special signal, that token, the scriptures say, that would alert them to know who Jesus was. You know, Mark 14:44 calls this special signal a token. From the Greek word Suzman, meaning a signal previously agreed upon. And did not Judas, he conspired, he premeditated all this. And he had this previously, this kiss, this betrayal kiss, when he does this, that's the guy they're after. This makes it, very clear that this kiss Judas gave Jesus was nothing more than a signal devised to let the troops know they needed to move swiftly to make their arrest. Judas, and then here I want to pay attention to this right here. Judas must have been very confused. On one hand, he warned religious leaders about Jesus' supernatural power so strongly that the soldiers arrived on the scene prepared to put up a serious fight with weapons of murder. But on the other hand, Judas told them that he thought he could deliver Jesus into their hands with a mere kiss. I'm going to stop there. And I got a note here. Actually, I got all kinds of notes here on this book, but were they confused or what? Here they come with all these weapons and torches and I'm not going to read, the devotion about this, about the, all these soldiers and all these men that come to look for Jesus. They're all thinking, man, we're going to have to put up this big fight. We're, to get this guy. These soldiers didn't know what they were really getting into. They were just, following orders. But on the other hand, it might go down just simple. He's going to kiss him. They're going to take him and off. So there's this confusion. These two conflicting pictures provide an excellent example to demonstrate the kind of confusion created inside a person who walks in deception. So he's talking here about Judas himself. Deception is a powerful force that twists and distorts one's ability to see things clearly. Deceived people misperceive, misunderstand, misrepresent, and misjudge. And later don't even understand why they did what they did. So he's talking about Judas here once again. He himself is deceived and confused, the different mixed signals Judas was given about Jesus make it evident that Judas was both deceived and confused. He told the soldiers and temple police, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely." This word kiss is the Greek word phileo. This well-known Greek word is used to show strong emotion, affection, and love. Later, it came to represent such strong affection that it was used only between people who had a strong bond or deeply felt obligation to each other, such as husbands and wives or family members. Later on, it came to be used as a form of greeting between especially dear and cherished friends. So here you have this, Judas, who was one of the disciples and with Jesus, and there's this, when they, there's scriptures that talk about kiss your brethren with a kiss. When you meet them, you kiss them. You know, it's on the cheek, whatever. That it's a special bond of obligation and everything. But yet, on the other hand, here it's a kiss of betrayal. So there's this confusion between the two. And that's that word. That's one of the words I want to get talk about today. Confusion. It's a spirit. You know? And confusion is what? It's a weapon of the enemy. Don't forget that. God is not the author of confusion. We'll talk about that. Satan is the author of confusion. He's the father of lies. Amen. So let's you know, to me, this is the ultimate example of such deception leading into confusion and unfaithfulness. You know, this strong bond that Jesus had between, you know, the disciples and Judas and everything, you know. And here, what? The unfaithfulness of Judas. You know, so what I want to do is I want to try and put together a big picture, looking at a bigger picture of things happening today, or soon to be, or already what is happening. You can look around. So let's turn to Micah. And we're going to go to Micah. It would be 6 and 7 that I want to talk, 6, 5, 6 and 7. But, you know, Micah was a prophet. And what I want to do is paint a big picture about the whole book of Micah, okay? And we could go to other scriptures, you know, Isaiah and Ezekiel, and get the same picture. But I want to turn to Micah. Because he was a prophet who spoke truth and it was a real challenge to the false prophets and sinners. You know, because Micah spoke truth and he also made it very clear God's judgment will fall. He's seen the wickedness in the cities. He saw the greed in the hearts of the leaders and of the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. You know, this was in the 8th century BC. But take note of that. You know, he's seen the wickedness in the cities. And he's seen the greed in the hearts of the leaders. You know, Micah saw a connection between the wickedness of the leaders of Israel and the threatening military activities of the Assyrians. God was going to use the Assyrians to punish and destroy these wicked people. You know, that's judgment. By the forces of nature and the crisis of history, God would bring his judgment upon these wicked men. They oppressed the poor. They debauched themselves in sensual pleasures. They flouted the law with bribes. Can we not see this today? But God would have the last word. Their religious rituals would and could not cover the depth of their hypocrisy and sin. Wow. Does that sound familiar today? You know, and once again, there's many examples of Old Testament scriptures, you know, that I could pick that would show the same picture. But here, you know, in Micah 6, you know, and this is about the Lord's contention with Israel and the requirements of the Lord, you know. And I'm not going to read it all, but if you read this all later, you'll see. But in Micah 7, it's about the moral sins of Israel. And so I want to read this and paint this picture. Just think of this as today. Okay? Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the great gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asks and the judge asks for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. What they're weaving together, this big, you know, look at a big picture, you know, like what I just said, but that Micah was painting this big picture of these leaders and these and the military and all these evil people. Just they're weaving together this big conspiracy, you might say, against the truth, I guess you might say. Verse 4, the best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh now shall be their perplexity. And there's that word, perplexity. That's the other word that I wanted to point out. You know, and that word, you know, means trouble with doubt, puzzled, bewildered, make difficult to understand or settle, confuse. You know, that's what this is, what the dictionary is saying. You know, and what this is what the devil wants to do. He wants to create this confusion, this perplexity. And do we not see that today? I mean, look at the headlines. One day it's this, and the next day it's this that our leaders are doing. The top leadership of this country and other countries, they're creating this confusion. People just can't keep up with what's going on. And I'm pretty sure you all know what I'm talking about. This perplexity. Verse 5. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in the bosom. You know, be quiet. Just, whoa. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. We can see that very clearly what's going on today. Verse 7, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Whew. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Wow, there's that word, behold. Then she that is my enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her with which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? My eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. And I want to stop there. But that word, behold, remember that word. I know we talked about that word much before. When you see that word in the Bible, what does it mean? It means to draw attention to something noteworthy. Often it's a revelation of something, something significant. You know, we need to all look and see with purpose. You know, it's emphasizing the importance of what is being presented. Okay? So let's turn to Isaiah 50. I'm hoping I'm painting a big picture here. But in Isaiah 50, and this is the suffering of the Lord's servant. Okay. And verses 6 and 7 is really the two verses I want to point out. But we're going to read this whole chapter because it's just a small chapter. It's short. But five times it says, behold. So pay attention is what he's saying. What he's saying. Okay. Let's start with verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors it is to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, there was no man. When I called, there was none to answer. Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their coverings. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Does this remind you of what happened to Jesus on Calvary? For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justified me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax as an old garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God, to rest on our God. Amen. Trust in him. Faithfulness of God. Verse 11. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of my hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. I want to go back on this and read a couple verses and point out a couple things. Because this should be our prayer. This whole chapter, you can turn into a big prayer, you might say. Let's start with verse 4, chapter 5, Isaiah. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. So, Father, right now, I just pray for each person listening to my voice. Lord, give them a tongue of the learned, that they will know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. May he walk in the morning by morning and have an ear to hear as the learned, to hear what the Spirit is saying for such a time as this. Lord, may we have ears to hear. May the Lord God open our ears, that we would not be rebellious and turn not back to the ways of old, eh? Verse 6, it says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Once again, is this not what Jesus went through on Calvary? They plucked the hairs of his beard, I think scriptures say. Verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. And there, Lord, right now I pray for each one hearing this message, that the Lord, that you help each one of us, that we would not be confounded by all this confusion and perplexity going on out here in the world, and that we can set our face like a flint, and that we know you, Lord. We know the truth, and that we will not be ashamed. We won't be ashamed to stand up for righteousness, to stand up on the word of God. Because there's people out there today that, as the scriptures say, they're hypocrites. Over here they're doing this with these people, but over here they're doing this. I want to read verse 8. He is near that justified me. Who will contend with me? Who's contending with you today? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. You know, we're not going to cower down in fear. Let him present his case to me. Who are you? Come on. Verse 9, behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that condemneth me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Whew. Amen. And when I was reading this verse 8, let us stand together. And guess what come to me? One of my favorite psalms. And I want to turn to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This is about the joy of brotherhood. Even from across the land, we have people in Canada, in England, all over the world. Let us stand together. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious anointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard of Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. Whew, that's a lot of anointment. That's very precious. Each one of you out there are very precious to us. We're all standing together in unity. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. You know, and when it says here, upon the mountains of Zion, that's the end days church. That's us. The remnant, you might say. This dew, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. To me, that word is favor. As I know, me and June, we feel we are highly favored. What the Lord has given us here on this farm and what he's provided for us, we just speak favor. And I speak favor upon each one of you out there that hear my voice. I pray that the Lord will show his favor upon you, just like the dew of Hermon, the dew that is descending upon your household right now. Amen. But it says here in verse 9, once again, behold, the Lord God will help me. Just put your name in there today. Amen. And I'm not going to read it today, but read all of chapter 50 yourselves sometime. And then go into chapter 51, because chapter 51 is the faithful are called to courage. We have to have courage in these times right now. Verse 3, it says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Amen. Out here, when you look at the big picture going on, the confusion, the perplexity, no, we have to stand on God's word. We have to trust him. We have to be faithful. We are called to courage. And that's another whole message about courage. Amen. So behold, pay attention. Don't be confused. Don't be mixed up, thrown into disorder and bewildered. You know, confusion, it's an act of confusing, confused condition, disorder, failure to distinguish clearly. That's confusion. That's why it says, behold, pay attention, look, see what's going on. You know, don't be confused, because, you know, it can come upon those that aren't paying attention. And that's part of this message today.
Pastor, I'd like to interject for a moment, if you don't mind.
Sure.
When you was talking about, you know, that confusion comes on those that are not paying attention, I want to clarify that it can also come on those who are paying attention, because right. We're double-minded. Double-minded meaning they cannot make up their mind which road they want to go down.
That's true, yep.
Yeah, they want the world and the benefits of the world.
Yep.
And the old American dream. And they also want Jesus. So they're in a state of confusion that they just have this little something they cannot let go of the
right.
world. That is confusion and perplexity. The problem is that you're stating is that it's going to end up like a Judas. If you don't nip that thing in the bud and cut it off,
that's
that
right.
spirit of confusion and perplexity and say, no, I am solid in what I believe.
Right.
I am solid in my Jesus. And I will, if I have to, I'll lose it all. Because, see, this is where people are, they're caving right now because of the appearance of everything's coming out of this. You see what I mean?
Right.
And like you said about the president doing everything intentionally to cause confusion.
Right.
It's to cause people to be, okay, think about another way they're doing confusion is biblical prophecy. They
right.
are trying to show everybody that all these people that are warning are all crazy.
Right.
Trying to bring confusion in the camp. Why? Because all the people that are partnered with them are the ones doing this, that are trying to cause intentional confusion. And think about this, the way they did the jab. They go in there, they press everybody hard. These businesses tell them they have to do it. Everything's done now. And it looks like everything's about to collapse, like all them people, the Freedom Force was telling everybody. The grid's going down and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, it comes back out for the election.
Right.
Everything goes back to normal so that they can get back in there and pass all these laws. Intentional confusion.
Right.
See? So there you go.
Yes, and I was going to mention that too, that some people don't even realize they're confused. You know, they just don't realize it. They think they're on the right track. They're, you know, whatever. But I was going to go to 2 Corinthians. But what I want to do is I want to turn back, if I can find it quick. Let me think here. Thought I had it marked. To Lamentations.
As you're going to Lamentations, I just want to say, in addition to that, is that what they're doing is painting an illusion of greatness, an illusion that everything is better, but it is all an illusion.
Right.
But see, yeah, the confusion is their goal for sure.
Right, right. So let's go back to Lamentations. Chapter 2 and 3 is just what I want to point out. Because chapter 2 is about Zion under judgment. Okay? And again, to me, when you talk about Zion, that's the church of today. And it's interesting that I didn't even notice this until now, but or actually yesterday when I was looking at it, sometime back whenever I was studying Lamentations or looking at it, and it must have been 2023 because that's what I got. I put 2023 America under judgment. And then I got church, the church under judgment. And that, to me, that's what this is describing. But there's hope and there's relief through God's mercy. So let's read this chapter 3 in Lamentations. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with huge stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter my reins. I was in derision to all my people and their song all the day. Sounds terrible, don't it? He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. That word worm means bitterness. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. Wow. That's getting serious. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hateth them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore, have I hope? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. And right here, people highlight these verses. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. Upon who? upon Jesus. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth it. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Thank you, Father God, for your compassion and your mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. To turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and he cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let me read that verse again. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Now I'm going to stop there. Amen. We need to turn to the Lord. We need to search our ways. It's kind of like, behold, pay attention. If you're going on this big, easy way, the ways of the world, no, we have to take that narrow path. Search, try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Amen. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, the first part is about God's power in the ministry. And the last part of it is about living by faith. You know, verse 1 in chapter 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. That's that power of mercy that we have to really get a hold of. We have to behold his mercy, because we will not faint. We will not falter by the ways of this world. Amen. But verse 7, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Amen. I want to read that verse again. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. You know, we're not altogether without help. We have the Lord on our side. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our own body. You know, these scriptures explore the idea of God's power being revealed through human weaknesses. You know, specifically through Paul's ministry, you know, verses 1 in chapter 4, we can say, how about ourselves? You know, Paul uses the image of a treasure in a jar of clay to illustrate that the gospel's value is not diminished by the humble, even flawed vessels who desperately need it. Despite suffering and hardship, you know, Paul emphasizes that the suffering is temporary and outweighed by what? The eternal glory of man, or of the Lord. Amen. Not only, you know, this treasure in the earthly vessel, verse 7, this precious gospel message and the power thereof is entrusted to imperfect human beings like us. You know, this illustrates that the power of the gospel is not dependent on the messenger, not on the messenger's strength or ability, but on God's own power. And what is that? Trusting in the Lord God Almighty. Amen. You know, verses 8 and 9, you know, Paul is describing experiencing various hardships, including being cast down, but not destroyed. You know, in Psalm 37, the verses 23 and 24, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, Psalm 37 it's about the true state of the wicked. This psalm is powerful. Write that down and read Psalm 37. You know, the Lord is gracious. In verse Psalm 145 is about the Lord's graciousness. And in verse 14 of Psalm 145, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and rises up all those that are bowed down. Verse 15, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. As we wait upon the Lord and we bow down and humble ourselves before our God. Wow. You know, just get in there and read the last 10 Psalms. When I was looking at this yesterday and going over this and reading this here. And if you look in my Bible and in the Psalms, they're all highlighted and everything, and their dates on them. It's so good to read these last 10 Psalms, especially will greatly encourage you, bringing what? Praise to the Lord. And when I was, and I put a note here that when I was looking at this yesterday and pondering all this and trying to make, you know, put this message together, man, I just got shivers. And I'm not kidding. I sat here going, wow, whoa, this is so good. We really got to get into these Psalms here. They're just so awesome. They really are. But going back to 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 4, and verses 10, 11, and 12, Paul is explaining that we carry the death of Jesus in our bodies so that the life of Jesus may be seen in them, in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, our suffering, like Christ, ultimately reveals the power of God's grace and love. You know, verse 13 and 14, Paul reiterates that the world's that the words and deeds of the believers are a clear sign of God's power, not their own. And when I was thinking about that, I'm like, wow. Let's just read verses 13 to 4. And having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that which is raised up in the Lord Jesus shall rise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. So, he says, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. That's our testimony. And we've talked a lot about that. I know June preaches a lot about your testimony, does she not? Verses 15 and 18. Paul now encourages his readers to focus on the eternal unseen glory rather than the temporary visible suffering, emphasizing that the present momentary afflictions are small compared to the future everlasting reward. Amen. Let's just read that, verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Whew, giving me chills. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Can I get an amen out there? Let's turn to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And what did we talk about? Humble before your Lord. And that's what James here. Faith and humility. The first part of chapter 1. That's what it's talking about. But let's just. I was going to point out verses 5 and 8. But let's just read this here. Let's just start. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So this message of James, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And are we not scattered around the country here, coming together in unity? Amen. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Trusting on the Lord. Amen. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Remember what we was just talking about? The hypocrites, people that are living a life over here, but yet over here, a different life. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double man in mind is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of the low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withered the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perished. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Verse 12. And this last part of this part of James is about the crown of life. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This passage, you know, 5 and 8, warns against doubt, comparing a double-minded person to the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. See, James is encouraging believers to ask for wisdom and understanding from God. You know, these verses highlight the importance of faith and trust in God, even in the times of confusion and uncertainty. Because that's what's happening out there today. There's so much confusion and uncertainty what's going to happen. So, Father God, right now, we just thank you. We thank you for wisdom and understanding of your word and the times that we live in right now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. You know, God's nature is one of peace and order. Contrasting with chaos or confusion that can arise, this is a cornerstone verse in understanding God's character. This verse also is a reminder that God's desires clarity and order in his people's lives and worship, not chaos and confusion. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Again, the Psalms are so awesome. Verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. You know, all of this Psalm 71 is so awesome. You know, it's a prayer for help in old age. You know, you look back in your life and what all has happened and what, you know, you see happening. But this is a prayer for help in old age. Yet the psalmist speaks out of mature experience with the Lord. You know, your testimony. He prays for help, but affirms his confidence in the Lord, who he has found faithful from his youth. You know, he's going back in time. Even though all this has happened, his God was faithful. Although in danger, the psalmist will always have hope and will always praise God. Despite life's troubles, he always counts on the Lord God to restore him, and he commits himself to a life of praise. And again, read Psalm 71, verse 9. It says, cast me off not in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. for my enemies speak against me, and they that lie awake for my soul take counsel together. Whew. We kind of see that today. Verse 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Amen. Verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hither have I declared thy wondrous works. For also when I am old and gray headed, O Lord, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and to thy power to everyone that is to come. You know, we're to stand strong in the Lord. We're to show the world, hey, this is our God. Look what he's done for me. Look what he's done in my life. Look what he's brought me through. Verse 19, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of this earth, of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. O my God, unto thee will I sing with a harp. O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Wow. But this Psalm 71, 72 are so good. Let's go to John 16. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. You know, in John 16, verses 25 to 33, it's all about overcoming. The Lord has overcome the world for us. Amen. You know, Jesus assures his disciples that they have tribulation in the world. But what? Take heart, for he has overcome the world. Jesus is speaking to his disciples before his crucifixion, knowing the trials that they will face. This verse offers hope and encouragement. It reminds believers that even in the midst of confusion and suffering, they can find peace and strength in Christ. Amen. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You know, once again, this verse, it encapsulates the global scope of Satan's deceptive influence and his relentless efforts to cause widespread confusion and chaos. Also, once again, it's a reminder that confusion and chaos are not from the Lord God, but from the evil one. You know, we have to get a hold of that. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. And I'm not going to read it further, but go ahead and read Luke 10, verses 18 to 24. It's so awesome. Good stuff. You know, there's more scriptures about the aspect of confusion and you know, and scriptures to ponder, meditate on, and get down in our hearts. And I'm not going to go to them all, but 2 Timothy verses 1 and 7, 2 Timothy 2, 6 and 7, John 14, 26 and 29, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, all of Deuteronomy 28. And then let's turn to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. And actually, Isaiah 40 and 41 is so awesome. But Isaiah 41, verses 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of thy righteousness. Behold, all that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive with thee, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Verse 12, thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. Whew. That's our God. You know, remember that the spirit of confusion is a weapon of the enemy. You know, he unleashes his demonic activity through mental, emotional, and physical confusion in order to manipulate and assault our minds. You know, confusion, the Latin root means to pour together, and is leaving many of us feeling overwhelmed. And again, this confusion, the Latin word to pour together. It's taking all this over here and all this going on over there and this over there and all this confusion, all this stuff happening, coming upon everybody. They don't know which way to turn. Do you feel overwhelmed by the world and all the confusion, deception, chaos? Well, like we said, our God is not the author of confusion. That's why these scriptures in the Psalms, and some of these, we really need to get in us, because, you know, they'll help us have strength to overcome all this. So, Father God, we thank you that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. The spirit of confusion will not reside or take root in us. I plead the blood of Jesus over each one's mind here today to protect us against the plans of the devil, to uproot. You know, the devil's trying to uproot our faith and trust in you, Lord. But Jesus has already delivered us from the confusion when he died on that cross, and when he rose again in 3 days, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father. So, Father God, we just thank you for that strength against the spirit of confusion. 1 Peter 5:7-8 says, we cast all our cares upon the Lord, for he careth for us. We will be sober, vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, walking about whom he shall devour. But Lord, we just thank you that we can cast all our cares upon you, because you careth for us. We will be sober. We will be vigilant. We will be alert, watchful, careful to notice these things of danger around us. But we will trust in you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we remain sober-minded and not swayed by the worldly influences of the devil. Amen. You know, my last verse for today is Philippians. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Let's just start with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, your self-control, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so today, right now, Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for each person here today hearing this message, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding. We can't understand all the things going on. We can't understand all the chaos and the perplexity coming across the people of this country, of the world. But we just thank you, Father, that your peace, that peace that we can't even fathom, it will guard over our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And amen. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for that peace. It guards over our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. In his mighty name. Amen. That's what I have for you today. I hope everybody will have that peace and that joy that only comes from the Lord, as we trust in him with all our hearts. For we will not lean, you know, we lean upon him. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. I tell you what, you was on fire today, sir.
Was that?
You was on fire today. I'm very thankful for you being our pastor and obeying the Lord like this, because we see their increased attacks against you know, not just the church, but the brain. When you think of, you know, when you think of confusion and all of the things that you talked about, perplexity and all that, it's all a battle of the mind, you know. And we know that the beast with technology is after the mind.
Exactly.
Right? So God is encouraging us today that our only hope in this hour is Jesus. That's it.
Amen.
You know, it's, there's no other. We have to be solid in how we believe. We have to know what we believe, and we have to stick to it at all costs. Don't waver back and forth, you know. Just like you're saying, I really appreciate the encouragement this morning. I want to sing you guys a song. And this is thanks to Miss Carla over here. Thank you, Miss Carla. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged exchange out to my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. You know, something else I think of, pastors, when you was reading that scripture and you was talking about, you know, how that chapter said behold like 3 or 4 times, was that in Micah? Was you talking about Micah there?
No, that was in where's my notes here? I think it was in Psalm 50.
Ah. Well, it's true in this end time hour. In order to keep our brain, we're going to have to behold him.
Yeah. You know, in the Old Testament alone, it's 1,500 times it says behold or beholding or something like that.
Wow.
And 200 times in the New Testament.
Wow.
So those are areas which you need to pay attention to and behold.
Yeah. All right, Brian. Well, I would like to offer you a time to give, to donate to the ministry. That would be wonderful. At goem.us. goem.us. Well, guys, we pray you have a wonderful day. And don't forget that next Sunday, we're going to do it through Zoom, which I will give you guys the invite on in band. But for the world, it will be on YouTube and it will be live. Okay. You won't be seeing Pastor because he needs his space to pull out all his books and stuff, you know, when he teaches. But you'll see me and you'll see the words and stuff like that that I'll have on the screen. So next Sunday is Easter. And I'm very excited to be able to have a service on Easter. Because I just posted on Facebook about another country where they have stopped that. They're not allowing them to have Easter service. And I said, huh, it kind of reminds me of Trump in 2020 when he shut the church down, said, no Easter for you, but the next day he opened it up for the Jews and the Muslims. So the point is I really want to celebrate this Easter like it may be our last. And I mean that. I am going to enjoy it. I'm going to be dressed up so pretty. I'm going to be in all white. Used to, I like to do Easter in all white. So next Sunday is going to be very special. And Pastor, maybe we can do communion. We'll do communion on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Okay? So, and we will be live on YouTube as well. It'll still be at 7:30 because we still encourage everybody to visit a local church. All right, so we will talk to you guys later and have a blessed day. And I did take up the offering, Miss Carla. All right, you guys have a great day. God bless.